Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Matt Cronier on the UFS Career Services podcast, and today I have the pleasure of chatting to Tony Peng. So Tony is an international award-winning entrepreneur, actually the only entrepreneur in Africa to be awarded the Global Young Entrepreneur Star in 2022, and the founder and owner of Envy, the creative lifestyle and concept design company. He's a visionary in the weddings and events industry based in Bloemfontein that has planned, curated, and executed bespoke A-list celebrity weddings and upmarket parties and events for over a decade, since 2012. He's also the CEO of Peng Property Group and the interior company Zen Spaces. He has also presented a TEDx talk, which has gathered over 120,000 views on YouTube. He's a creative at heart, a leader in spirit, and a lover of life and all things beautiful. Tony Peng, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be here.
Cool. Awesome. So, Tony, before we sort of unpack your job and sort of speak about what you do on a day-to-day, tell me about the best day in your career. When was it? What happened?
Well, Matt, in my career in the events field or my career as an entrepreneur in my own business?
Well, I think let's start with the event space and then we'll branch.
I think in the event space would definitely be in 2009 when I was commissioned to take part in the Confed Cup, the FIFA Confed Cup. And that's where my love for the events industry sparked. All right. So after the Soccer World Cup, the Confed Cup in 2009, I think that was a great moment for me and kind of put my or guided me into the direction that I am in at this particular moment. And in my career itself, as an entrepreneur, would be definitely be when we signed our first seven-figure deal. I can't say who it is for, but I mean, for any small business to sign a seven-figure deal just justifies all the hard work and the late nights. And yeah, so that was a great moment.
Incredible. Awesome. So let's maybe get to that. Let's look at that a little bit. So coming from Bloemfontein, born and bred.
Born and bred.
In Bloemfontein, studied hospitality management at CUT. How did you get from there to where we are today?
Okay, so I've always had a passion for the hospitality industry, the service industry, and that's why I decided after school to go study hospitality. But it was not until I, like I said, started or got the gig to work at the Confed Cup where my love for the events industry sparked, because there's a beginning and there's an end, and then you move on to something new. Whereas in the hospitality industry, you kind of day in, day out, you go to the same place. Like if you're in the restaurant, you're in the restaurant. If you're in front of house, you're in front of house.
Yeah.
So that derailed me a bit, but it was good because it was still part of the service industry. So after studying, I decided to go to Cape Town to work for a very bespoke events company at that time. And that's where we dealt with massive launches, luxury launches. And that even fueled me even more to go into a very niche market of curating events. And then after that, I decided to come back to Bloemfontein because at that time, 2011, 2012, there weren't a lot of people in the market doing very niche, bespoke weddings. And I saw a gap in that market and decided, you know what, I've always wanted to own my own business. I always wanted to be my own boss. And I decided to come back, move all 22 boxes back to Bloemfontein and started my company Envy at 2012. Okay. Yeah.
What is a niche wedding?
So a niche wedding or boutique wedding is a very exclusive, detail-orientated wedding, right? So there's a sense of exclusivity to it. That being said, I mean, not everybody can just throw seven figures at a wedding or at a party. So there is that top 1% or top 10% of South Africa that can afford those kind of parties and events. And those are our clientele that we target. Mm. So I was very deliberate in targeting that niche of the top 10% of South Africa.
Incredible. So you mentioned that you always wanted to be your own boss. You always wanted to be an entrepreneur. What, in your opinion, sort of did being an employee working for another company, how did that help you to be your own boss and to have your own company?
I think to see definitely there was value in working for another company in a sense that you learned how they do things and what their mistakes were. Yeah, so I've learned a lot on procedure, SOPs, how to deal with clients, and that definitely prepared me when it was time to open my own business. I mean, I've always wanted to open my own business, like I said, but at 25, I took the leap because I always thought I could always fall back on going to work for another company or going back to the hospitality industry. Sure. So I just tried to, you know, I just decided to give it a shot.
Okay. Awesome. So there's no, so Envy's not like a nickname or a second name for you then, right?
No. Envy, a lot of people will see Envy, which is on V, okay? Well, we call it Envy, yeah, in South Africa. But people will take the name and go like, okay, but that's the French word for envy, right? Mm. But if you divide the word on, E-N, which is into, V, c'est la vie, life, it means into life. So we see past the chaos or the negativity to find beauty. And that's the story of the name Envy, actually.
You mentioned that sort of, you know, that's how people say it in South Africa. So as somebody who apparently only shops in Asia, why Bloem? Why here?
Okay, firstly, I was born in Bloemfontein, you know, and I would say there's something about Bloem that's just very special and untapped, and we might be seen as the underdog, and I think that's even a greater fuel for young entrepreneurs to say, like, look at us, we can be worldly, you know, and there absolutely was a market for what I'm doing. I think if there was no market, I probably wouldn't be here, but I saw that there was a market, and 12 years later, we're still here, so... Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's always something people, I think, underestimate about Bloem is, you know, whenever people think, especially being an entrepreneur, you know, hustling and all of those things, they think Joburg, Cape Town, you know, all the big centers. But I think there is, as you've said, quite a lot of good opportunities in Bloem as well.
I think that's the thing. A lot of youngsters want to go to the bigger city. Obviously, it depends on the line of work you're in.
Sure.
But it is highly possible to be a big fish in a small pond. Yeah. And although we are based in Bloemfontein, we do projects throughout South Africa and around the world. So it's a nice base to be in. So I think people shouldn't look past, you know, opportunities of Bloemfontein.
So also you obviously have a lot of friends in the industry as well, a lot of restaurateurs, all of those as well. How important is it to have friends in this industry, and what role do they play in your success?
I would say relationships are key to the hospitality industry. Like, for example, I could get access to restaurants and hotels that even if you had all the money in the world that you couldn't get into. Okay. And that's the value of building great relationships in this industry. If you want to be part of this industry, you have to make friends in order to have accessibility. I think that's how I would say.
So networking.
Networking critical. Is crucial, and it must be a win-win situation, you know, for both you and your suppliers.
Yeah. Say you didn't study what you did, or you're not doing what you're currently doing. What else would you like to do?
Well, Matt, I think, you know what, I've always been a creative at heart, so it will have to be something creative, whether it's in the line of design, architecture, interior, any form of, it could be fashion, it could be, you know, any creative thing that I can get my hands on. I'll probably go into that line of work.
Okay. Know. So as long as you're in the creative space, as long as you get to...
As long as it's not an office job staring at a screen, yeah.
That's fair enough. How much staring at a screen a day do you do, though?
More on my phone than on a laptop, yeah.
Okay, so. That's fair. Cool. So, I mean, your job sounds pretty incredible, but obviously no job is perfect, I think. Yeah. So what are some of the less fun parts of your job?
So a lot of people think that the events industry is a very glamorous industry because they see all the photos of the glitz and the glam at the events, the champagne and all of that. But they don't realize that 90% of an event is admin, right?
Yeah.
So the mundane things would be waiting for suppliers to get back to you. I mean, I think we all know, especially in Bloemfontein, people don't really reply on emails. Sure. But not just in Bloem, guys. I mean, Cape Town, Joburg, it's everywhere, right? Yeah. So you're waiting and waiting and waiting. So you need to kind of mediate between your suppliers and your clients and to keep both sides happy. So logistics and the admin side of it is tremendous because if your admin is not right, you cannot execute a well-orchestrated event. Okay. So the admin side is pretty mundane.
Yeah. Okay. And I would imagine there's quite a lot of legalities, especially if you're doing public events, all those kinds of things.
Absolutely. A lot of paperwork and making sure that everything's covered, especially if you're dealing with corporates. Obviously, they've got all their health and safeties and all of that. So corporate is a little bit more hectic on that. Mm. Yeah, so a lot of paperwork. It's not just all fun and playing with flowers and, you know.
Okay. Much of champagne and caviar everywhere.
Absolutely not.
And then sort of for young people who also want to get into this, like what one piece of advice would you give them?
I think the best advice I can give anybody that wants to be in this industry is definitely practical experience. So offer to work at an event, even if it's for free, just so that you see what it's about. Mm. You know, like I said, people have this idea that it is a glamorous industry. They don't see, like, you know, people are packing glasses and washing things behind the scenes. So you need to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
You need to move chairs. You need to roll tables. You need to, you know, work till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So do practical experience, offer your service, go work at a wedding for free just to see how it is, because that will definitely prepare you in order to see whether you are actually, you know, ready for this industry or not. Yeah. Mm. So a lot of students have come and said, oh, Tony, I want to do what you guys are doing. And after the first function or so, they realize that this isn't for them. They're not up for this. You know?
This is a lot harder than I thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I think on that also, so obviously, I mean, we're in South Africa. Our student base is, you know, it's people who come from various different backgrounds. And we all face obviously different challenges on different levels in life. For you, how important is sort of a person's mindset, their way of thinking about their situation to be able to achieve what they want to achieve in life?
You know, I've done, that's exactly my TEDx talk, was that your thoughts create your reality. Mm. So you need to be in the right headspace, especially with the economy as it is and all the corruption and the chaos that we have in South Africa. I think there's always the possibility to find beauty and the silver lining. And I think it's the ability to find that silver lining or the lesson or the opportunities. But you need to be in the right headspace, and that is up to you to do. Yeah. So if you guys want to, you know, if you guys need help or whatever, just go out and I mean, we're living in an age where resources are readily available. You can go on YouTube, you can go on free lessons and all of that. So your mindset is crucial to have the right mindset.
Okay, awesome. So know what you want, go get there. And obviously, as you mentioned, network, speak to people, take up opportunities.
And start small. I think a lot of people think you need to go big, you know. But I think starting small, I started with literally moving everything back, staying at a student house, buying 5 vases, and that's how I started my events company, working out of the student house garage 12 years ago. That's how I started.
Amazing. Oh. That's cool. Awesome. How much, sort of as an entrepreneur, how much inspiration do you find, and I guess guidance do you find in, you know, reading other entrepreneurs' books and autobiographies or watching films or documentaries?
Lots. So I don't necessarily read, but I watch a lot of shows and videos and a lot of Instagram. So it does help because you want to know that you're not alone. And by listening to podcasts or motivational talks, you can see that those people also have gone through a journey. I think that if they can do it, so can you. So it's crucial, and I think it's important to observe what people before you have gone through in order to kind of motivate you to propel forward.
No names, but the biggest mishap that you've had at an event.
Oh, goodness. I think out of the 100 odd weddings that we've done, and I can tell you this now, none of the weddings have gone 100%. It's either whether there was the weather that played, didn't play along or whatnot. But I think the biggest mishap was, but it wasn't necessarily our fault. Literally 2 days before the bride's wedding, we had to change the location because a venue in Bloemfontein flooded. So we literally had to change to another venue and inform everybody and still create magic out of that. So that was probably the biggest mishap, but obviously it's out of our control.
Sure.
We couldn't control the weather, but the venue was underground, so it was flooded.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. So also, I guess, being able to roll with it and pivot and make up sort of new plans, pretty essential.
I think that's what we actually get paid to do, is crisis control.
Yeah.
More so, yeah, the creative side of it, but also how to manage situations when it arises without creating a big hoo-ha about it.
Yes. Right. So, Tony, we've got a couple of last sort of quick fire questions for you that we're going to end the interview off. So firstly, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee. Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Remote or on-site?
In terms of?
Work.
Work. On-site.
On-site. Hands-on guy.
Hands-on.
And then complete the sentence. Every morning I?
Feed my cats.
Ah. Important. You see? Yeah. A carer as well. And then my favorite word is?
Done.
Oof. Very good.
Yeah, done. Just get it done. Done. Amazing. I don't want to. How are you going to get it done? Just get it done.
Just get it done. Important. Tony, that's all I've got for you. Thank you so much. It's been really fun hanging out. And all the best with all your endeavors going forward.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.